Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you brothers and sisters and everybody else that's joining us today. Today we're going to go back into our study. We're going to have a shortened lesson today because I'm just choosing to do that because of where we're falling in the lesson here. And I want to pick up the next lesson on a brand new topic having to do with killing. And that's what the subject of our Bible study, of our studying of God's Word, is the subject of killing. And when you think about it, that's just something that that nobody ever brings up when it has to do with the Scriptures, unless it has to do with the Lord's crucifixion or something like that. But as far as just the subject matter of killing, you don't ever hear anybody talking about that in Christendom. Because it's not a popular subject. But when you get into the study and you actually start seeing in the Scriptures what the Lord says and how much killing there is and what kinds of killing there is and what the Lord's attitude toward killing is and what he thinks about it and what the Scriptures say and the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament killing and all these different things that have to do with killing, it turns into quite a subject, doesn't it? And especially having to do with this matter that's going on today in society right now and what's in the minds of the people and of the lost, the world. What does the world think about killing? And it is a topic in their mind. It's one of the top three things that they think about and society thinks about. The police can testify to that. The firemen can testify to that. The people that walk up and down the streets, not just in certain cities that are like, for instance, New York or Baltimore or Atlanta or some places like that that are known for being dangerous, but every place in the United States is like that now, everywhere. Everybody has the fear of being killed now, and killing is out of the closet and in the air now, and you never know who's thinking about it. It could be anywhere from a 5-year-old that killed themselves, all the way up to 70 and 80-year-old people. You never know who's thinking about killing. And that's something to take note of. So, to not let you down, I got a few things I want to read to you here, and we'll get into our study and pick it up where we left off last time, having to do with suicide. And as suicide is described in the Bible, we've moved through that quite a bit. We talked about life's weariness having to do with suicidal thoughts and why, life's weariness and life's vanity, and anger having to do with that makes you think of suicide and how it's brought on. And we talked about, suicide brought on and why in the Scriptures, and because of hopelessness and because of sin and because of disappointment and also because of betraying Christ. See, that's one thing Christians have is our hope, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have God the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, and we have his support, and we know him to be true and that he is real, and he comforts us when we lean on him and when we trust in him. And he even does it when we don't, because he abideth faithful even when we don't. But other truths concerning suicide in the Bible, we talked about that it's desired by some, and that's no anybody would think that people don't walk around. You brush shoulders with somebody. If you're out and about during the day, you brush shoulders with somebody that's got it in their mind about killing themselves. And you say, no, yeah, You got to be nuts to think any different. I mean, there's people killing themselves all over the place. I mean, there's planned killing and trying to legalize it where people can kill themselves and where they can get the drugs to do it. And they even got one group out there that goes and puts bags over people, the elderly. And they've been to court about the matter. And even won the thing. And it's a organization that assists, that they don't actually put their hands on them, but they assist in doing it. Now, they went to court, and there's a lot of people that was convicted of doing wrong and stuff like that. But what they was doing was, I forget what they called it, but some kind of right to choice, you know, like the women say, right to my body and right to this, and then I got the rights, rights. Everybody's got rights. The funny thing is the rights aren't ending up good. They're ending up killing somebody. Abortion, I got my rights, but it kills somebody. The elderly, I got my right to die, but it kills somebody. You see, just everybody. I mean, I got my rights. Rights kill, folks. Rights kill. The only thing that we have the right to do is obey the Lord and to do right. We have the right to do right. That's what salvation's all about. You see, under the law, the letter killeth. Under the law, you're guilty. You're guilty. But under grace, under what the Lord Jesus Christ done, did he have the right to not be killed? Yes, he did. But he didn't do that. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. You see, he had the right to just say, well, that's a wicked, ungodly people that I created, and they've gone amok, and let's just get rid of them. And the Lord said that a few times to Moses. I'll just get rid of the whole bunch, and I'll make a whole new nation out of you. And the Lord can do it. But he chose not to. He cares. He cares. And if the women that are arguing and fighting and going to court and wasting all this money and acting like a bunch of children saying, I got my rights, I got my rights, I got my rights, thought about somebody else other than themselves, it'd be a different story. You see? And if old people thought about thought about others rather than themselves. And I understand the suffering and getting old and stuff like that, and it's terrible. It's terrible. But what's the Bible say about having rights about death and about killing? You see, that's one reason that we're studying this. But we're talking about other truths concerning suicide. We went over it's desired by some, and it's attempted but prevented. Remember that? And then suicide was imputed to Christ, but it was a completely different kind of suicide. It was a sacrificial suicide. You see, most people that kill themselves don't do it other than war and wartime and stuff like that, where people jump on grenades to keep their buddies from getting, you know, that's suicide. But it's not, it's saving a life rather than killing a life. Big difference, you see. And suicide was imputed to Christ. I mean, he did come to die, and he said, I lay my life down. Nobody's going to take my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily. He allowed people to kill him, innocent, and allowed people to kill him on purpose. And that is classified as suicide, but it's a different kind of suicide. It's a suicide to save life rather than dispose of it, you see. And he wasn't killing himself because he was tired. Do you think Christ was tired? Yes, he was tired. That he was wore out? Yes, he was wore out. He was tired of this wickedness in the world? Yes, he was tired of the wickedness in this world. That he hadn't been that he was wounded and hurting and bleeding and bruised, and his flesh was flayed open, and it says that he was beat so bad and cut so bad that you couldn't recognize him as a man. But he didn't die because he wanted to die. He died sacrificially
and allowed the suicide to go on for us, for somebody else to live. You see, his suicide was for somebody to live, not for somebody to die. You see? So somebody's already dying, like us. And then we talked about Satan's temptation to try to tempt Christ to commit suicide. He took him up on that pinnacle and told him to jump and tempted him with the word of God and said, well, God said he'd save you, you know, jump. Show us who you are. I mean, if God says he'll save you and the word of God is true, then you can jump over here and the angels will catch you before you hit the ground. Or keep you from smashing your face and your guts flowing out like Judas did. You see? And Christ told him, don't tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he used the word of God to rebuke him. But we went through all that and studied that, and we ended up on the very last part of the suicide matter in our study, and we're going to go into a study today, which is not as long as most of our studies, which is the principles in the scriptures prohibiting suicide. Does the Bible prohibit suicide? Does it say, don't kill yourself, don't kill anybody else? Does it prohibit it? Well, we're going to look at that. But first of all, and we're going to, sorry about that, you never can tell, can you? But here's a couple of these, two of them to be exact. Here's a L.A. man. This is up-to-date news, folks. This is your news man, Brother TV, and I'm bringing you the most up-to-date news today and hope it'll make your day better and just proud and that you're just glad to be alive and human. L.A. man arrested in beating death of a toddler who suffered head and brain injuries. Now, I've had this for a couple days, but when I got it a couple days ago, it was 5 hours old. So it's about two days and 5 hours old. Not very long. Not very long at all. It says authorities arrested and charged a fellow North Hollywood man for the beating death of a 14-month-old baby. A grown man beat a 14-month-old baby to death. It said this fella, I'm not going to say his name, but 20 years old, is charged with assault on a child that would likely result in the child becoming comatose and paralyzed, and the child child abuse under circumstances or conditions likely to cause great bodily injury. Yeah, great bodily injury. He killed him. The physical abuse suffered by this young boy is horrifying. Oh, they tell the truth a little bit in here, ain't they? That the alleged perpetrator is the child's father is unconscionable. Did you hear that? It's a news medium. Man, they must have been up all night or drinking or something to say something like that. The news don't talk like that. But they said that it's unthinkable. It's not, you can't reason it in your conscience that a father would beat his own child to death. Well, that's truth. But they didn't mean it. They're just trying to make some kind of fancy thing here, you know, that, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. No, it's not. This is everyday stuff. The harm inflicted in this case warrants that special allegations be filed. My office is committed to protecting our children by holding accountable anyone who abuses them. That's not the way you protect children. You know, you hold people accountable for anyone that hurts a child anyway. The idea is to get the people right in their minds and their hearts with God's word so they don't beat their children to death. That ain't fixing nothing, catching somebody after he's already killed his kid. Instead of stopping the person and changing his heart and changing his mind, oh, but don't bring God into the matter. Not God. We don't need God to fix this thing. We'll just get the people that do it to their children and hold them accountable. Yeah, but the kid's still dead. They don't get it. They don't get it. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, that they're foolishness unto him. You bring God into the picture and they go, huh? The police report states that the 14-year-old boy suffered brain and head injuries as a result of the alleged abuse. It said that his biological father allegedly admitted to the crime in an interview with the police. The assault took place he was out on bail for a separate crime. Okay, that's enough of that one. All right, so you see, a bunch of nuts. But don't bring God into the picture, and don't bring the Word of God into it. Come on. Here's another one. 18-year-old killed by drive-by shooting. They're calling it a homicide. Says that the police department investigating an 18-year-old was killed in a Friday evening drive-by shooting. At 9:40 p.m., the officers responded to a shooting that occurred on this street that they found this fella who had been struck by gunfire and would be declared dead at the scene of the incident. Police say that they identified a person of interest in the case. Investigators determined that this fellow was traveling west on the street, and the victim's vehicle was struck multiple times by gunfire. The officers wrote down, the gunfire came from the suspect's vehicle, which was traveling behind and then beside the victim's vehicle. So whoever done it was following him and start shooting at him from behind and then come up beside him and shot at him and killed him. Police noted that there was two passengers in the victim's vehicle who did not sustain any injuries, so they must have been aiming at him, everybody aiming at him. Police said the suspect's vehicle fled the scene after shooting. Well, it's an active investigation on a homicide, trying to catch the killer. Okay, so there's you some updated news. I hope it made your day and made you where you just want to have a happy day and walk up and down the sidewalk freely, not worried about nothing. That's not the way it is, folks. That's not the way it is. All right, let's get into today's study. And you say, bro, TV, you sure are negative. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm honest, and I'm reading you the truth. Look it up yourself. Look it up yourself. And just for your information, 75% of that book that you're reading is negative. The Word of God is negative. That's why people don't like it, because that book knows them, and it tells it. That's the only book on this planet that can take any individual and sit down at a table and completely and utterly describe that person in detail to their face. Isn't that something? God the Holy Ghost take them words and he'll just go straight to the heart. It says the Word of God is like food, it's like milk, it's like a hammer, it's like a two-edged sword. Yeah. So, let's talk about this. Principles prohibiting suicide in the Bible. Well, the first thing that we come across is that because of the body's sacredness. You say, well, I thought this body was wicked. It is. It's going back to the dirt. But Jesus died for that body. The Bible says that you don't belong to yourself. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, let me ask you something. Is committing suicide glorifying God with your body? No, it's not. It's destroying the temple, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells in you, in your body. That's what the Bible says.
And the Bible commands us principles prohibiting suicide. Why should you not commit suicide? Because of your body's sacredness. God the Holy Ghost lives in your body. And if he didn't think it was important enough for you to take care of and to watch out for and to do the best you can, even though the flesh is wicked and ungodly, and it's going back to the dirt, but the Lord's going to raise it, and he's going to perfect it and make it, fashion it like unto Jesus' glorious body. It's not just something that's worthless. It's the temple of God the Holy Ghost. Principles prohibiting suicide in the Bible, the body's sacredness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" Does that get any more plainer and simpler? I mean, even a child can understand what that means. What's that mean, Susie, when I just said that? Well, Brother TV, it means that that God the Holy Ghost lives in my body. A child can tell you that. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You're carrying around somebody else's property. You're inside that body. But the body belongs to the Lord. You say, "No, that's my body." No, it ain't. It's God's body. He dwells in you. And he bought that body. He bought it with his blood. And ye are not your own. That's what the Bible says. You believe what you want to believe. But the Bible don't tell you that your body is your own. It tells you take care of it. And that you dwell in it. That you're in there in that body. But it doesn't say it's yours. "And ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." All right, talking about your body that you're dwelling in, "and in your spirit, which are God's." One more time. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Principles prohibiting suicide. If there's anything in the scriptures in the New Testament that tells us that we shouldn't kill ourselves, is that. Because your body belongs to God, and you're destroying God's property when you do that. You don't have the right to kill yourself. We have the right to obey God. You know, this business, I was saying something about that a while ago, this business about rights, and it's funny that it's named rights. That's peculiar, isn't it? Rights. This matter of rights has destroyed some generations and has destroyed society. I mean destroyed it. You look at it. Anything that has to do with rebellion or I got my rights and I got this and I got that, anything that's doing that and is destroying life, you look somewhere in that matter and you'll find rights somewhere in there. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. Here's another one. Principles prohibiting suicide, the body's sacredness. That's not all. Here's another one. The prohibition against murder. Remember we talked about what suicide is? That it's the definition of it, that it's basically self-murder. You plan it. You carry it out. You do it out of whatever reason that you do it for. Disappointment, discouragement, anger, hatred, fed up with, whatever reason it might be. You plan it, and you carry it out. One of the things the counselors will ask you, if you know anything about, and I hope you don't, but if you do, I could teach a class on mental health and stuff like that. And I don't say that proudly. I say that because of personal things in the past with myself. And I know what they do, and I know how they do it, and I know why they do it. But the counseling, one of the questions that's mentioned in a counseling thing all the time is, no matter whether you appear to or whether you have evidence about you when you sit down and are discussing and counseling and having conversation with a psychiatrist or with a counselor or somebody like that, one question that they always ask you is, do you have any plans of killing yourself? And you say no, and they say, well, if you did have plans of killing yourself, have you thought recently about making a plan to kill yourself? Do you have a plan to kill yourself? And these are questions that they ask all the time. Ask anybody that knows anything about it. But if the lost people and the people that aren't spiritual and know nothing about God and know nothing about His Word and having conversation in the Spirit would say something like that, are you preparing to kill yourself? Are you making plans? Did you buy a gun? Have you got a rope taken care of? Are you learning how to tie a noose? Are you looking for a tree? You know, stuff like that. If they'll ask you the question, then it's more than likely that suicide, as far as the scriptures prohibiting it, says, thou shalt not kill. And the Lord said that and backed it up in the New Testament. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, that was Exodus 20:13, by the way, the law, thou shalt not kill. But Matthew chapter 19, also the Lord in the New Testament, he saith unto them, which Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder. Is suicide murder? Yes, it is. It's murder. It's not a homicide. Somebody else did not kill you. You killed yourself. You planned it and you carried it out. You see, but brothers and sisters, a Christian should either be walking with the Lord to the point to where you're so close to Him that even when you're suffering and you're hurting and you're fed up and you're tired and you just want to get out of here, and I do too, Paul did too. Paul didn't want to be here. And the Lord told us, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you thinking that this is not my home. I don't belong here, because you don't. Love not the world and the things in the world. The Lord tells us not to love the world. He said, this is not our home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you and take you to your place, where your place is. So you don't have a place here, so quit looking for it. Just camp out and give God the glory and try to win some people and take them with you. If you get tied up in this world's business, which the devil is an expert at trying to do to us, and the world is an expert at trying to draw you in with its billboards and its televisions and its covetousness and its advertising and its temptations and all that kind of trash, and trying to get you into it, it'll drive you to the point to where you want to kill yourself, because you've got a conflict going on inside of you. You don't belong here. The Lord, God the Holy Ghost, dwells in you, is trying to teach you that you don't belong here, and not to learn things of this world, but to learn spiritual things. And to set your affections on things above is what the Scripture says. It's what the Lord wants out of us. And then you go learning all this trash in the world and letting the world set temptation in you and cause you to covet everything in the world and offer you money to take out loans and put yourself in debt and get up under the yoke of the world again and all this kind of trash that goes on. Yeah, it'll cause you to want to kill yourself and get out of here even quicker. Yeah, it will. And it does. But you don't have the right to commit suicide because your body belongs to the Lord. It's sacred. It's holy ground. And plus, it's prohibited. God said, don't do it. Thou shalt not kill. Well, what about the New Testament? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness. And then James even carries it even farther. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But you see, the body's sacredness, the prohibition against murder. You're not to murder anybody, including yourself. Now, that's what the Bible says. Show me in the Bible where it says something different. It doesn't. Nowhere. You can't find it. It's not there. There's no condition in the Scriptures where the Lord said, go kill yourself. Now, there's a lot of places where the Lord talked to some disobedient, ungodly, God-hating reprobates and told them, if that's the way you're going to be, then I'm going to let you have what you want. And I'm going to let you drive yourself nuts and kill yourself instead of protecting you. You see, the idea with walking in the Spirit and being in fellowship with the Lord is that God is our comfort and He's our protector and our teacher, and He protects us from thinking things like that and wanting to destroy life. And I'm not talking about the destroy life on the billboards and the signs where everybody does their marches and blah, 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 and look at us, we're something special, blah, 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 and all that kind of trash. Go home and live what you believe. You ain't got to get in the street and get with 1,000 other people to declare what you believe. Go home and live what you believe. You want to kill your child? Go home and kill it. You see, you don't do that. You go out in the middle of the streets and declare you got your rights. That's what society's all about, and that's what all these issues are about, is rights. I got my rights. I got my rights. But you don't have no rights. You have the right to do right, and you have the right to obey God. And one of these days, you're going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, and you're going to say, Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then He's going to say, how come you didn't obey me? He's going to say, who told you you had rights to do what you wanted to do? Who told you that? Didn't you read my word? Yeah. Every man shall give account of himself to God, the Bible says. And lastly, we're going to talk about today the principles prohibiting suicide in the Bible we're talking about. First of all was the body's sacredness. And secondly, the prohibition against murder. The Lord said very plainly in the Old Testament and the New Testament, thou shalt commit no murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt commit no murder. The Lord even changed it. He didn't say thou shalt not kill when He mentioned it in the New Testament. He said thou shalt do no murder. You see, and that's one of the changes that we're going to study also as we go through this study. The last thing is faith's expectancy. Faith's expectancy. The things you hope for in the Scriptures that are true, that haven't come to pass yet, that you're waiting for. Your faith's expectancy. What you're expecting. God to keep His word. God to come through. And you know He's going to. You know He's going to. And you're not to cut things short. If God has not taken your breath from you and brought you on home, then He has something for you to do here. And He wants you here. If the Lord hasn't already taken you home, and He can, and He will, then you are to be available in the body to do whatever the Lord says. You get that? That's what Paul said. He said, for me to depart and be with Christ is better. But then he said, but to abide in the body and stay here is profitable for you. He said,
if God won't take me home, he'd take me home when it's time. He said, I'm ready to leave now. He said, but the Lord wants me here for your sakes. If Paul knew that, then you should know it. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yes, you do. The Lord said for you to glorify him, there are some basic things that the Lord has given us. Love your brethren. Forsake not the gathering together of the saints, as the matter of some is. Get with your brother. Encourage them. Do what you can until the Lord gives you specific directions and commands, what he wants you. I mean, just being available is minding God. Maybe he just wants your presence there so somebody else can see you and watch you. There's people watching you. Don't you know that? Don't you know people watch you? You say you're a Christian, you're being watched, brother. You're being watched, sister. And they're checking you out to see if you're authentic and you're original and you're genuine. And if you are, they're thinking about coming to Christ. Because that's what this life is all about. It ain't got nothing to do with your rights. It's got to do with getting to Jesus Christ before you die and go into eternity. And you'll find out how many rights you've got if you die without Christ. Ask the people in hell right this very minute. You think anybody in hell saying, I got my rights? They might be saying it out of hatred for God and cussing God and everything else, but they're not saying it because it's true. Faith's expectancy. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8, and verse 18, it says, for I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul. And the time of my departure is at hand. So, you see, Paul waited and remained in the body, and God kept him alive through all the beatings and the torture that he went through. I mean, when Paul was selected by the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that the Lord laid down for him was that he must suffer many things for my name's sake. So Paul was selected for the purpose of suffering in front of people and going before Caesar and all the kings and witnessing for the Lord's sake and writing almost half of your New Testament. Excuse me. The Bible says, for I am now ready to be offered. Paul knew that the Lord's going to take him home soon. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. You know what was part of his fight was? Was staying in the body and not committing suicide. You don't think Paul thought about that? Sure he did. He said, I have finished my course. He said, I have fought a good fight. I hung in there, and I finished my course. The Lord told me this is the beginning, and this is how it's going to end. It's going to begin with me, and it's going to end with me. And Paul said, I went the entire course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Did you get that? It didn't say love your arrival to the Lord after you kill yourself. He said love his appearing, waiting for the Lord and the Lord showing up. You don't have to worry about dying. You're going to die if the Lord doesn't come before he decides to bring you home. But your dying's not going to be accidental before the Lord. You're not just going to pop up in heaven and the Lord say, how'd you get here? The Bible says, precious unto the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord knows every person
that is being birthed into eternity and leaving that body and going through death. Every one of his saints. And the Bible says it's precious to the Lord. So if death is precious to the Lord, then he must think that you ought to think a little more about it. And how precious it is to him that you would leave it in his hands for you to come home. Or to go home, where we're talking right now, but to go home. Paul waited to go home. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If that doesn't say that Paul, after all Paul's been through and all the disappointment that he had and all the suffering that he was doing for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and he didn't give up, then you shouldn't give up. He didn't make no excuses for killing himself. If anybody wanted to kill himself, it would have been Paul. Commit suicide. To murder himself. But Paul didn't believe that way. Paul put up with it and counted it as giving glory to the Lord and shaming all the people that didn't get his message. That wouldn't accept his message. That's what he said. So today we've talked about what? We've talked about principles prohibiting suicide in the Bible. Now this wraps up our topic in this study of killing having to do with suicide. We have been over quite a bit concerning this matter. As a matter, I think we've covered just about everything having to do with it. Suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible. And then we talked about suicide brought on and why in the Scriptures. And then other truths concerning suicide in the Bible, that it's desired by some and it's tempted and prevented, and praise the Lord for that. But today we talked about prohibiting principles prohibiting suicide. After we talk today, let me ask you a question. Is it right or wrong to kill yourself? Okay. Who taught you that? Okay, well, if the Lord taught you that, then we should obey it, right? Yes, we should. So stop thinking about it. Every time it comes into your mind, kick it out. Say, that's not my thought. I don't accept that thought. That's not God's will. If God wants to take me home, he can take me home right now. But he doesn't. But as far as my thinking goes, I don't accept that thought. That's not my thought. And you watch how fast it'll leave you alone. Okay? And that's it. And we'll stop that today. And we will pick up on our next study. And we're going to start into some New Testament facts about killing. We're just going to go over a lot of things in the Scriptures in the New Testament that have to do, just some facts about killing. What does the New Testament say about this matter and subject of killing? Okay, and that's going to wrap up our study on this, but it's going to be interesting. You'll see. For instance, the New Testament takes for granted that killing is part of man's fallen Adamic nature. The New Testament's not surprised about man being a killer, and you'll see that. And we'll look at the Scriptures, and we'll see that that's what the Bible says. That's what makes this study so special, is that that's what the Bible says. I ain't told you what I think, even though I think what the Lord thinks. But we've been over the Scriptures. We talk about God's Word. That's what makes this study right. Now ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. God's words. And as long as we keep God's words in this study, we're safe and we are in our right mind about how to think. Amen? All right. Well, let me give you these studies for today. Here's the first one, verses. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8 and verse 18. And that wraps up the scripture for today. Only four, well, more than four. There's a couple verses in each one, but nevertheless, all of God's words are inspired, aren't they? The words in the Word are inspired. Every single word. Okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you for joining us and for being part of this. And even if you was reading your Bible and studying somewhere else, the Lord bless you. Just stay in that book. Don't let the enemy ever take that book away from you. And you're going to have to discipline yourself every time. It'll get that you love it and you desire it and you, I got to have it. But the enemy's going to fight you continually, even if he knows that you're not going to quit. He'll fight you continually about that word. You're never going to get any slack about that word. You're going to have to fight to be in that word all the time. But that tells us something, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Okay. Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.